Chapter 34. Sally looked across at Tim. "Sorry," she said. They were in the dining room of the Hampstead safe house. She figured the men had put them there because there were no windows in the room, just sliding doors that led to the kitchen. Whoever had done the interior design work on the house had compensated for the lack of a window by installing a large mirror on one wall. She could see her own reflection and winced at the fear in her eyes. "Nothing to apologize for," he said. "I should have seen them coming." The men who had seized them on the street had brought them in through the wrought iron gate and around to the back of the house. One of them, the one who had hit Tim, was huge, close to 7 feet tall. The other was Hispanic and shorter than Sally, but he made up for his lack of height with bulk. He had wide shoulders and weightlifter forearms that stretched the material of his jacket. There were two more men there with guns in underarm holsters, and they had stared sullenly at Sally and Tim as they were taken inside. The kitchen lights were on, but there was no one there. Their captors had taken them into the dining room, sat them down on wooden chairs, and used zip ties to bind their wrists behind them and their ankles to the legs of the chairs. "We're not going to gag you because no one will hear you if you do shout," the bigger of the two men had said. "But trust me, any sound out of you, and I'll slap you into the middle of next week."
"I'm a police officer," Tim began, but the man had silenced him with a pointed finger.
"Shut the fuck up," scowled the man. He patted Tim down, found his wallet and warrant card, and put them in his own pocket. He went through Sally's pockets and took her purse. The two men had left, pulling the sliding doors shut behind them.
"They're Americans, right?" she asked.
"Sounds like it," said Tim.
"Why would Yanks be in an MI5 safe house? You're sure they're not the ones who were chasing you?"
"I don't recognize them, but then I only saw two of them, and one of them I didn't get a good look at.
Maybe.
Well, if it is them, they obviously found their way here."
"You don't think that Americans would have killed those people in the Wimbledon house, do you?"
"Who knows?
The Americans are our allies."
"In my experience, Americans only care about their own interests," said Tim. "But yes, killing the footies and chasing you around London does seem a bit excessive." Sally smiled despite the seriousness of their situation.
"Excessive? You know what I mean. If it was the Russians, they wouldn't care, but the Americans."
"It doesn't make any sense," said Sally. "But then nothing that has happened does. Anyway, I'm sorry I dragged you into this, or whatever this is."
"You didn't drag me, Sally."
"I know, but you didn't have to be the white knight."
"How could I not be? You're my..."
He laughed. "I was going to say girlfriend."
"I'm sorry about that too. You never really explained why you left. Not properly."
"I didn't really leave. I wasn't living with you."
"Would you rather I asked why you dumped me?"
"I didn't..." She didn't finish the sentence because she knew that at the end of the day, that was exactly what she had done.
"I just wanted to concentrate on my career," she said.
"Shopping and playing around on Facebook."
"That's how you start at MI5. So you wanted to be James Bond, is that it? You dropped me because you wanted to be 007.
"Well, first of all, James Bond works for MI6, not MI5. And second of all, he's a fictional character." Tim shook his head.
"Do they teach you to evade questions? Is that part of your training?"
"I wanted to concentrate on my career. I'm 24 years old. I don't want to settle down and be a wife and a mother."
"I don't remember proposing to you."
"We were heading that way."
"Says who?"
Sally sighed.
"I don't want to argue."
"Clearly," said Tim.
"That's why when you dumped me, you just gave me the silent treatment. You hate confrontation."
"I just don't see the point in arguing." "There's a difference between arguing and discussing. It might have been nice if you'd at least talked to me.
Explained a bit more. Maybe even apologised."
Sally frowned.
"Apologised? For what?"
"For breaking my bloody heart, Sally." He looked away and bit down on his lower lip.
"Tim, I'm sorry," he said. "Stop apologizing. You've got nothing to apologize for. It's all down to me." He opened his mouth to say something, but they were interrupted by the sound of the doors sliding back. The man who opened them was balding, with a goatee beard and a pair of glasses hanging on a chain around his neck. He was wearing a dark blue pinstripe suit and a light blue tie. As the doors slid back, Sally could see the two Americans standing in the kitchen. The man stepped inside, leaving the doors open. He walked over to Sally and stood looking down at her. Sally stared back defiantly, refusing to show fear.
"You are Sally Page, right?"
He was English, Sally realized. "You took my purse and my driving license in there, so you know who I am."
"Don't get clever with me, Miss Page," the man said. "You're in a great deal of trouble, and if you are anything less than honest with me, you are going to make it worse for yourself."
"I'm a police officer, and you're the one in trouble, mate," said Tim. "Assault, kidnapping a police officer, and God knows what else."
The man turned to look at Tim, his face impassive. "The very fact that you came here with Ms. Page puts you in breach of the Official Secrets Act and makes you liable for a prison term of up to 14 years. So you need to just shut the fuck up."
"Okay."
He turned again to look at Sally. "Your manager at Thames House would be Ian Hadley. Is that correct?"
Sally nodded.
The man took out his mobile phone and walked out of the room. He left the doors open, but Sally couldn't hear what he was saying.
The two Americans stared at her with undisguised hostility, and she looked away.
The man returned with his phone. He held it to her face.
"Say who you are," he ordered.
Sally swallowed.
"This is Sally Page," she said.
"Sally, what the fuck are you playing at?"
It was Ian Hadley.
"Ian, why didn't you call? Why didn't you come to Thames House? We've got people combing the city for you."
"I wasn't sure what to do," she said.
The man took the phone away from her.
"Can you confirm that she's Sally Page?" he asked.
He grunted, then ended the call. He put the phone into his pocket and nodded at the two men in the kitchen.
"She's with us."
The bigger of the two men pulled a knife from a wooden block and walked through the doorway into the room. He held the knife and moved towards Sally. She began to tremble and shake her head.
"Don't worry, honey," he said. "I'm not going to hurt you."
He knelt down and used the knife to cut away the ties around her ankles.
"Bend forward," he said.
She did as she was told, and he cut the ties from her wrists.
"Thank you,"
she said, massaging her wrists. The man went over to Tim and cut his bonds. Tim stood up.
"You need to stay here," said the man with the goatee. "This isn't over yet."
"Who are you?"
asked Tim.
"I'm the man who is telling you that you have to stay put, and these two gentlemen are the men who will stop you if you don't follow my instructions. Are we clear?"
"Yes," said Tim.
"Excellent. Now sit down."
Tim did as he was told.
"Can you at least tell us what's going on?"
asked Sally.
"Your boss is on the way in. He'll explain the situation to you,"
said the man. He and the Americans went through the sliding doors and closed them, leaving Sally and Tim alone. Tim hurried over to Sally and put his arms around her.
"Are you okay?"
he asked.
"I thought he was going to kill us."
"Thankfully not," said Tim.
"So Mr. Goatee is with MI5?
"I guess so, but I don't know him." She rested her head against his shoulder.
"I'm exhausted. After what you've been through, I'm not surprised. But it looks like it'll all be over soon."
"God, I hope so,"